You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Hyler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcast.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe.
On Brand is brought to you by the Brand Driven Digital Event Series, featuring the Social Brand Forum. This industry-leading digital marketing event brings the best and brightest thought leaders to the heart of the heartland for 2 days of insightful keynotes and interactive discussions. Learn more and register now at socialbrandforum.com.
Welcome to On Brand, a podcast for brand builders by brand builders. Here's your host, Nick Westergaard of Brand Driven Digital.
Hey, brand builders, have we got a show for you? Each month, as part of the On Brand podcast, we take a look back on the month that was. We'll reflect on the brand builders we chatted with here on the podcast, and also discuss the biggest stories and pop culture funnery that made up our brand zeitgeist. To help with this, I'm joined by our special contributor, Megan Foster. She works in the digital trenches with our clients and helps us plan our event series, including the industry-leading Social Brand Forum. Megan, thanks for joining us. What's been in the brand zeitgeist for March 2015?
Well, Twitter had a birthday, just like you. Today is your birthday.
I'm in the brand zeitgeist,
yes,
also Twitter.
And Twitter, yes, but Twitter turned 10.
10
yep,
years
and then
young.
We were able to see the top 10 tweets in Twitter's 10-year history, which was very, very interesting.
Yeah, and we can link up to this in the show notes. But there's some for those social media dorks out there. There are a few kind of historic ones. You have Twitter founder Jack Dorsey with the first tweet ever, and that was we joke sometimes about these social network brand names that are often they work to stand out by subtracting vowels. And Twitter, back in the early days, was a fun bit of trivia there, was actually spelled T-W-T-T-R, Twitter. Oh. So Jack Dorsey, his first tweet was, just setting up my Twitter. But I suppose we'll just let that be Twitter.
You'll also see the creation of the hashtag was one of the top 10 tweets.
Yeah, it was around one of the first, another first in there, one of the first bar camps also. So hashtag bar camp. How do you feel about using hash pound for groups, as in hashtag bar camp, said Chris Messina about that. You also saw, and this is topical for me because I saw the folks behind NASA's various rovers, but their Phoenix Mars lander. They had, are you ready to celebrate? Well, get ready. We have ice. Yes, ice. Water ice on Mars. Woot. We'll let them have that woot. Ice merits a woot. Best day ever. Now, the fun thing that I always bring up is that it's a great example of brand voice. Because all of the Mars tweets for the Curiosity rover, I think they've switched those handles. They've kind of merged them together, retired at Mars Phoenix and into at Mars rover. Or is it at Mars Curiosity? I'm not certain. But they tweet as the rover in first person as well. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah. And actually, what I found interesting in looking at these tweets is that, as you said, there's kind of a combination of historical events. We have the other tweet that was extremely, or in the top 10, was the 4 more years after President Obama won his second term, but also the... a tweet relating to the Osama bin Laden raid.
Helicopter hovering above Abbottabad at 1 a.m. is a rare event.
Yeah, yeah. Really interesting. And then you had the selfie that Ellen took at the Oscars with all of those celebrities. So really, you know, kind of a combination of pop culture things, historical events.
The plane going in the Hudson. Yeah. You have Clarence House.
Yeah.
Congratulating the Prince of Wales, delighted to announce the engagement of Prince William to Miss Catherine Middleton.
Yeah.
I don't know what Clarence House is.
I think, I don't either. I should know that. Maybe you're the Anglophile. I am more of an Anglophile. I'm assuming it's got to be, you know, I don't know. Maybe Harry would know, our son, who is a bigger Anglophile.
I was going to say, we're going to have to punt on this one. But in looking back at kind of 10 years of Twitter, I think it's also, you know, the whole, you know, looking back, looking forward thing on what is, you know, what's still a big deal, what matters. And I mean, I think, you know, a connection point here is you look at all of the kind of real-time nature of this, these, I mean, they're all big events, whether that's news, you know, I air quote, legitimate news, the plane going in the Hudson versus, I guess, the real air quote news on the, you know, the royal wedding, pop culture, fun stuff, but it's all kind of that real-time nature of things, and it is top of mind. I've talked about it on a few social sound bites, but certainly Meerkat, as we look at that cropping up, and it was certainly big at South by Southwest. It's interesting because I work with people on all sorts of different sides of things digital. I work with clients who are working to adapt to new forms of media. I work with students that are these digital natives that often see things first. But then the other group is kind of this inner circle of, you know, the social digerati, as it were. And Meerkat cropped up a week before, you know, spring break for my students. And most of them, granted, some had kind of checked out into spring break mode already. We're kind of like Meerkat, huh? And then went to South by Southwest, and this thing was everywhere. You had people walking around, you know, Meerkat, you know, live streaming video to their Twitter feed. And it's interesting, I think, you know, where this will go, what it means, and how that will impact. Because I look at these past 10 years and looking at all of this, you know, these 10 years have been about a lot of that real-time news. So, you know, what does this mean with, you know, people meerkatting more now too?
Well, and I always say I get all of my news from Twitter. I mean, that's how I don't read a paper. I don't even get news from Facebook. I get it from Twitter. And you know, there is or I'll see a story first on Twitter, and then I might go look and check other places. But
it's enhancing that kind of live experience too. I just spoke with someone that was out at you know, one of the college basketball tournament playoff games. And it was in another city and was outside of what you'd consider Twitter's normal demographic, was a little bit older. And he is someone that is working to adapt and understand for the due to his own business, but was actually using Twitter to see where there were various, you know, Hawkeye basketball meetups and saw some of that real-time value. And I think that Meerkat, because it's not, okay, so, you know, you've got YouTube videos as sort of this standing presence online, this sort of very polished, you know, tons of video content. What is different about Meerkat is that you're seeing that it's actually, you know, this kind of here today, gone tomorrow, or here this second, gone next second, because once you hit stop on that video stream, you're done. So it kind of plays into some of that real-time nature that Twitter, as we look at the past 10 years, has been so good at. We kind of see where that's going. It's interesting because Twitter actually, because Meerkat is, plays very nicely with Twitter. You have to have a Twitter account to Meerkat, but it's easy to forget that it's not a Twitter-owned joint either. So it actually, is its own standalone app. But Twitter tried to circumvent that a little bit by acquiring Periscope, which is another similar app, but it hasn't gotten anywhere near the kind of media blitz and attention from the tech set that Meerkat has.
You know, when you talk about Twitter, I am actually thinking about the Infinite Dial study that we listened to, Tom Webster and Edison Research and
Tom Webster in the brand zeitgeist.
Yes.
If we look back, he was, I believe, our very first March guest.
Yeah. Yeah. But what I found interesting was that in looking at that study, I was surprised to see that Twitter, among people who were the 12 to 24 year old people that they surveyed, was not as high as, say, Facebook. The top three were Facebook. Snapchat was number two, which really shocked me. It must, I'm out of touch with the youths, I guess.
The youths.
And then Instagram was three, and I believe that Twitter was a distant fourth. And it's interesting when you talk about the immediacy of Meerkat, and then you click on it and it goes away. It's very similar to Snapchat in that regard, where, the content seems to disappear. And I'm really curious as to why Snapchat would be number two, over Twitter, when you have some of the same capabilities.
Well, and of course, we kind of jumped straight into it. Tom was, of course, a guest on this show back in early March. And then that same week, as part of his work with Edison Research and Triton Digital, they released their latest data set from the Infinite Dial study, which, as you mentioned, surveys Americans age 12 and up. And then he had some breakouts of just the 12 to 24 subset there. But that was something that I directly at South by Southwest heard. I can't recall. I think it was Brian Solis that talked about the ephemeral nature of some of the biggest social networks right now, of things like Snapchat. And that it is that immediacy that, something's here right now. It's in the right now. It's not necessarily about that you're going back through the days and days worth of Twitter updates since you were last there, or even Snapchat, that it's all about this immediacy of it. And you see something like Meerkat. Now, I think if you've had time to look at the branding of these two, they're totally separate companies, but I have to think it's just too much of a coincidence in that you have this live stream, immediate video app, Meerkat, and it is the simple white silhouette of a Meerkat on a bright yellow background compared to a Snapchat of the little ghost. On the yellow background. Okay. I mean, there's a lot of
why a Meerkat?
Similar brand
why
DNA.
A Meerkat?
I don't know. And this was where the conversation at South by Southwest, as people kind of were taking it, perhaps somewhat jokingly, somewhat self-aware to the extremes of, is it Meerkatting? Is it Meercasting?
Well, I really, is it because a meerkat
pops up
and then goes back down? I mean, that has to be it, right? I mean,
that's as close that I could come up with something relevant.
I mean, I get the idea of the ghost with the Snapchat.
Okay,
and
is that,
I sound
is that, that
really
it's...
old okay, on I'll, your I'll, birthday.
I'll see your oldness and raise you some here on my name day. And
name day. Should have said that.
I know.
Why didn't I say that?
I know. I took that from you. But I'll see you that the ghost thing presumably is because it's here and then gone.
It goes away. But it really doesn't, though. I mean, okay. That's the other thing about the Snapchats. Is
okay, at least you
yeah.
own that.
Yeah.
Just a little bit there.
Yes.
I look at that brand DNA and I have to think that there's...
Yeah, what is it with that? That's the point I've kind of took the long way around the barn of trying to get to.
I also think that you see some macro trends in branding also. I mean, it's, you know, we talk about right now and Twitter, I think it's hard not to say that it's getting nudged out somewhat mm-hmm. in terms of the top social networks. It used to be easy to say, oh, it's Facebook and Twitter. If you're on social media, it's Facebook and Twitter. But I bring this back to the overall brand DNA. And remember when it was just Facebook and Twitter, you could have said, okay, why blue? I mean, social was blue. And now it seems you've got, you know, yellow being a very big part of the palette. If Meerkat stays, Snapchat certainly. I mean, you look at, you know, you were asking why Snapchat. I mean, the adoption rate there is nuts. I'm sitting here. I said this to some colleagues. It was a nice chance at South By to get to connect with some fellow educators. And I said, you know, it's funny how all of this goes in the classroom because things come, go. I add things, I subtract things. I have since removed a Foursquare module. We can talk in a moment that they just struck a data partnership with Twitter, which, I mean, I don't know. I think anything by Foursquare is kind of a fight for relevance. But I've retired Foursquare. I've put things like Vine in, but I'm sitting here thinking, I don't cover Snapchat nearly enough. And that was a place where I talk about, you know, the show of hands, students, are any of you using Meerkat? And right now, a few weeks in, it hasn't made it out to that 12 to 24 set. We, you know, if you look at the innovation adoption curve, the innovators to the early adopters, you know, I think you've got the, you know, Meerkat sitting in there with the innovators, whereas Snapchat has a very strong foothold with those early adopters.
So how do you see brands using Snapchat?
Well, I think that this is curious to me, and I'd love to hear from our listeners as well, because I've covered this here and there, but I have trouble not finding case studies from the same brands. From Taco Bell, from Audi, you know, kind of some of these same ones. But, you know, you look at Taco Bell, that fits very much with, I believe, wasn't Tom
oh,
Webster
Tom.
Talking
oh,
about?
Oh, yeah. I loved hearing Tom's little parable about Taco Bell and...
listening to their humans.
Well, listen, but he discussed how there was some... disconnect with how Taco Bell viewed their product and how their consumers viewed their product. So initially, when Taco Bell first kind of came on the scene, they were all about fresh. Our products are fresh, and it's all, you know, the freshest ingredients. But I believe the word he used, which really made me laugh, was that it's not what it is. You come out of there at like 3 a.m. with a Dorito.
Food.
I loved what he said, because he said a Dorito covered object. He called it an object, which it
that's
is.
Fair. Which
it's
technically
totally
speaking,
fair.
I think is what you'd classify it as.
Oh yeah, and you know, they've had all sorts of. Were they? Was it them? Did they have the? They had some sort of questionable meat products in there.
Back to the object yes. classification.
Right. And so what a huge disconnect. And I think that, as he mentioned, they have kind of evolved. They've had to evolve. And now they do realize that they're not Chipotle. They're not more of, or a Poncheros, where it is a little bit more fresh. They're what you, you know, when you have overindulged, still sounding old, you know, you go and you get, you know, the Taco Bell. And so, yeah. I can't remember where we were going with this.
This was Snapchat.
Yeah, where did we get to?
But they know they're humans.
Yeah, exactly. That's their humans. They're humans. They're gonna they're the Snapchat crowd.
I was gonna say, by necessity, that is where they have to be. So I think that, you know, that's the one that I can think of. But if you have examples of brands doing great things with Snapchat, I'd love to hear about them. So use that hashtag #OnBrandPodcast and let us know if there's brands that are doing interesting things outside of those so often case-studied ones. The interesting thing, they kind of introduce their stories. So you see more content brands, you know, Nat Geo, Comedy Central, that kind of have these channels that you can discover with Snapchat custom content that has emerged over the past month. And I think that as this becomes a platform that, you know, as it continues to grow on the foothold it already has, you know, how can they be more entrenched? I think that you're going to see more of that as you see brands that are effective content brands doing things there as well.
Yep.
So as I look at the month that was, I think that it's just the you know, we're like sharks circling something right here. And we have an enormous venti Starbucks here on the table. But it has not been marked with the hashtag race together.
Oh, boy.
Which was, oh boy, is the right intro there.
Yeah, and you know, I am very much in favor of conversations about race and racial inequity and whatnot. But that, and it seems like a lot of these conversations always start with the phrase, "It was well intentioned," but you know, maybe not executed gracefully. And they're doubling down on it. So they're claiming, they're not claiming, they are saying that, you know, as you pointed out, the sticker is not on your beverage. And that they are saying that that was part of the plan, that they had always intended to remove the sticker from the cups on March 22nd. And they are doubling down on it. They're not backing off of it. Even though, you know, there was a lot of controversy around it. One of the things that I had read was that it kind of put their employees in an unfair situation where, you know, expecting these conversations to happen at the cash register, you know, and that I don't believe that their employees had any training or any, just like, hey, let's dialogue.
The quick backstory for anybody that missed it is over the past few weeks, Starbucks launched this Race Together initiative, which involved exactly what you're talking about, the barista, putting that on the cup, and then you're supposed to start this conversation about race in America. There were other brand touch points as well. They had an insert, and I believe Parade or USA This Weekend, or one of the common kind of magazines out there with the Sunday paper. Other brand touch points, but yeah, it has been slayed mercilessly. Larry Wilmore, who we talked about on the January Zeitgeist, took it apart pretty handily. If I can find video, I'll embed that in the post here. But it's interesting to me because you talk about you don't have a problem with conversations about social justice.
Oh, absolutely not. And I think that, I mean, it's imperative that they happen. But
it's interesting because I want to set that out. So it's,
yeah.
It's
yes.
You were welcome ears. The other thing is, I don't know that you can say, oh, hey, Starbucks, what are you doing involving yourself in a social conversation, because Starbucks is no stranger to this either. They've been very involved in conversations about the economy, about the jobs crisis. I mean, they are an involved brand that is defined by. I mean, I'm working on a branding talk and I was just practicing it. I mean, that's one of the pillars of who they are. That's why it kind of fascinates me. Why did this fall flat?
Well, I think you could get into a variety of, you know, academic, cultural snafus.
Beard stroking.
I mean, I could pontificate on that part. I mean, it's just yucky. There's just some things about it really yucky. And it's not necessarily, I mean, it is, you have to really kind of think about it, because it could be perceived in a variety of different ways. You know, you have some people who would say that, and this is kind of the point that, or the stand that the CEO is taking, is that, you know, anytime you start a conversation about race, you're going to get criticized, you're going to get blowback. I really don't think it's that. I think, you know, that you have to be very sensitive, again, to the, in order to have an effective conversation. You can't just kind of expect your barista at, you know, during the lunch or the morning rush hour when you've got 25 people and you slap the sticker on there. I mean,
let's talk about race on the way to the commute.
Well, yeah, I mean,
there were some tweets to that effect that were less polite than.
And I don't necessarily think that it's people being defensive or angry about being. I think it actually is coming more from a point of view of, no, it is something we need to talk about.
But is that a conversation that Starbucks needs to facilitate? Whereas,
yes,
I mean, like
exactly.
You said, more than being like, we're not.
I don't want to talk about it. Yeah, it's not so much that,
yeah,
I don't
which,
think.
Which kind of makes their kind of, I was going to say it's whitewashing, but that seems like an ill-advised word.
No, but they're almost.
Oh, well, it's because it's a hard conversation.
Right.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, no, it is, but.
It is, but it's where we're having it. And that's why I think, because they've been very active, like with the economic crash on the jobs. And I think you look at that, you see a great American business being a part of the jobs conversation. And that's a relevant conversation. Plus, there was a Howard Schultz book out, that's the CEO at the time, or he still is, but at the time of the jobs thing. It was, hey, learn more about the jobs. They had little like awareness bracelets, almost like a Livestrong thing you could buy. It would go towards this. They had a pamphlet. They had Schultz's book. But it wasn't saying, hey, here's our barista on the front lines making the coffee, doing whatever else. And poor individual is going to go like grab the third rail of most conversations.
Yeah.
I mean, short of talking about like religion and sex. I mean, why put that? It's almost like, instead of putting Howard Schultz out there doing that, made his people do it all too.
So Chipotle, again, to bring it back to Chipotle, had done something similar, but much more subtle. And what they had done with their bags and napkins and cups is that they had taken book quotes from Amy Tan? I'm losing it. Her book. I'm really like having old person moments here.
You're having an old person day on my birthday. I'm feeling young.
And on the podcast. but putting quotes from literature on their bags that, and in a much more kind of subtle and beautiful way of getting people to think about that, not still using the same touch points, but in a more subtle and effective way with these quotes from literature, these quotes from authors. I think there's a Toni Morrison quote on one that had been used. And so kind of a more thought-provoking, subtle way of maybe doing the same sort of thing.
Devil's advocate, I have an opinion on an answer to this question, but why should a brand be involved in a conversation like this? Why do I want my brand talking to
me about anything else
that's not coffee or what they do?
Well, I mean, in some cases, that is a part of a brand's identity. I don't know. The Chipotle example was kind of an anecdotal one that I had read in an article comparing the two approaches to this similar conversation. And Chipotle's brand, you know, they are very much about, you know, the opposite of the Taco Bell. They do, you know, push the fresh ingredients, but they really do have fresh ingredients, and they've kind of woven that into this narrative about them, their kind of social responsibility. That's always been a part of Starbucks brand.
Because your brand isn't just what you sell, it's what you stand for, too.
Yeah.
And I think that to be a fully realized three-dimensional brand, you have to have some sort of belief. You have to have a soul. And I think that it is important, but you got to be careful about it, though.
Well, and it kind of it goes back to some of the things that Tom talked about also, was like knowing, you know, having your perception of who you are as a brand, and then what your customers
were co-creating.
Co-creating, and what the customers think. And sometimes, even when you have a good sense of that, you can still kind of miss the mark. Starbucks can, like you said, I would be the appropriate audience. Yeah. I am their target. Social justice is very important to me, and I drink coffee, and so yeah. And I'm often in the drive-through, and I would be their mark, but yeah, it's
a bit of a misfire.
It was a misfire, even and a well-intentioned one, and one that could be looked at as one that is, they were kind of merging those two things. Their identity and what they thought their customer's identity was, and yeah.
Was there anything else on as part of the Infinite Dial study that you?
Well, the podcasting piece of that I found to be very interesting. Although I cannot listen to Serial. You know, just as a mom, I 5 minutes in, I shut it off, and I'm like, I can't listen to this, you know. But how he discussed on your podcast the nature of podcast behavior and how it is evolving and how it impacts other forms of audio content.
Well, yeah, I think, you know, there was a mind-blowing stat in there, and I'd encourage everybody, we'll link up to it, and I think it's in the links of Tom's episode, too, to go find the study. But when you take the number of Serial listeners in terms of how many listen to that compared with how many are watching top-rated TV shows, and it's a staggering number.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that, you know, another, to me, what stood out in there also is, I mean, I've said this a few different times. I've said this on the Social Soundbite, so this is going to come as no surprise to anybody listening. And that's this myth. It's a damn lie in the headlines that Facebook's dead.
Yeah.
And I think everybody, I think even like people that like, you know, you talk to that like to read social media headlines and then use that in conversation, or anecdotally look at what their kids are doing and say, no, well, And then you say, well, no, it's in fact not dead. And then they'll say, well, with kids it is. Kids aren't.
It's not, though.
Not true at all. I mean, it's still like double-digit lead over everybody, including that younger demographic.
And what surprised me, again, dovetailing back to what we discussed earlier, was that Twitter seems to be... I was surprised to see that Twitter was lower, and it was below Instagram, which really surprised me.
Well, Instagram for the past couple of years has been tracking as one of the faster growing yeah. social networks, gaining a new user a second, I saw somewhere. So it's not surprising to see that kind of foothold. And then you look at that and you talk about back to the whole stop saying Facebook is dead. Who owns Instagram?
Well, Facebook.
Facebook. So yeah. I think you look at that and they control two of the top three most used social networks out there. So
yeah,
watch what you say. The other big part about the infinite dial was talking about listenership, of course, the podcast side of it, but also internet radio,
uh-huh.
which I thought was fascinating. And boy, talk about the 800-pound gorilla in that space. And Pandora
yeah.
is just a behemoth. And it's interesting because I was head down on a project. And I listened to both Pandora, Spotify, everything. But I'd had one too many of the five-hour energy drink ads.
Right.
Have you tried five-hour yeah, well, energy
lately? And you switched to Spotify Premium, which I now love. Because whenever I'm head down on something and I have it on Pandora, the ads that I get are for the neonatal intensive care unit at the University of Iowa Hospitals. And... it's just depressing, and I rip the headphones out of my ears because it's this guy. It's this twinkly music, and then it's this guy saying, "Mom, that's what he'll call you once he's strong enough to breathe on his own." And I'm like, no, I am not gonna, no. And I tear him out, and I'm like, forget it. And now I'm on the Spotify premium bandwagon.
We're gonna have to get you on your own because yeah. you're gonna mess up my stations.
But I had heard that message, the same one too many times, and I'm like done. I'm done.
Yeah. It was, but you know, the last thing I struggled with though was, we're a marketing company, we place ads.
Yeah.
But then ultimately, because. In terms of advertising, Pandora still leads. So I'm justifying it that I can still hear Pandora ads because
and
I'm not
I still
paying.
Use Pandora. You know, I absolutely still use Pandora. It's just whenever I need to kind of zone out, you know, the interruption.
Well, was it on Tom's podcast or the Infinite Dial or both? This is like the Tom Webster Hour without
it is.
Tom Webster, which is a good reminder that Tom Webster will be in Iowa this fall, October 15th and 16th, for Social Brand Forum 2015 at the historic Englert Theater in beautiful downtown Iowa City. As this goes live on Monday the 30th. Of March, you will still at that point have 48 hours to register for the very best rate. Prices go up April 1. Don't be an April fool. That is my within podcast advertising message.
Yes.
Right here as well. But I think Tom also talked about, and I think it might have been on his podcast episode, about the power from an advertising perspective of being able to
yeah.
target your advertising.
Yes, yeah.
And I know Dean in our business, Westergaard Classic, who has bought both traditional terrestrial radio and internet radio, marvels at that as well, because you could always target based on what people were supposed to be listening to. Mm-hmm. But if someone's signing up for something like Pandora, especially Pandora, but Spotify as well, you're not buying any waste.
Yeah, he did say that there's very little to no waste in your buy when you're buying advertising on those channels. So, yeah. I also get the cuties. I get the oranges, the little oranges, and mine are all.
I didn't
know
that they were an advertiser.
They are, and it's like the spin is, "Hey, moms, hey, Pandora moms. So I'm a Pandora mom, I guess. And yeah, that, oh, these oranges, they're just a perfect little portable, healthy snack for your kids.
At some point, though, as Pandora evolves as a more sophisticated marketing platform, it's already extremely sophisticated, but I have to wonder, are we going to move past the point of having to announce who it is we're talking to?
What is
hey,
that?
Pandora listeners.
Hey, Pandora moms.
There's some great data that says, you know what, those ads convert 10 times better. To me, it's just like slightly uncreative copywriting.
I would agree with that.
Because you've already targeted. I'm not talking to non-Pandora listeners.
Yeah, exactly. I hear that.
So, Megan, as we start to wind down here a bit, what is a brand in the zeitgeist or in your personal zeitgeist that's made you smile over the last month?
It would be my personal zeitgeist. And I love this because it is an intersection of all of the things that I geek out about. So I get very geeky about branding when it intersects with kind of the pop culture aspects, when the two come together. And for me recently, it has been through the Limited. So I love to shop online, as you know.
Oh, yes.
But I need to kind of back up for this one because it's, you know, predates the internet, actually. So, like, when my sister and I were teenagers, like, shopping at the Limited was where you went. You went to the mall and you got, if you had an awesome wardrobe in the late 80s and early 90s, it usually came from the Limited. But they kind of fell away, and there are very, very few Limited stores anymore. I think there's only one in Iowa.
There's a limited number of Limited stores?
A limited number. Hey-o! Oh, good one. But, I mean, flash forward, and I start watching Scandal, and I love Kerry Washington's clothes on Scandal. I love them. It's so fun to see how Olivia Pope is dressed. She has partnered with The Limited and has a line of clothing through them. The reason it's interesting to me is because I hadn't thought about The Limited in years. They hadn't even been in my mind. They were gone. They were obsolete. I had no idea. I'm like, wow, when I heard that they were partnering, I was surprised that they were even still around.
Still a thing.
And so, of course, I fell for it, hook, line, and sinker. And I ordered clothes from the Scandal collection, from the Limited. And I have to say, it has been awesome dealing with them. I've had returns. And it isn't just that their customer service, their online customer service is the best that I have ever dealt with in all of my online shopping. And they take such great care of the little touch points. So like all of the paper that you usually get when you order something, it all came in this very beautiful packaged little envelope instead of being thrown into the box.
Instead of a packing slip.
Instead of a packing slip, there was this beautiful envelope. And the clothes themselves are gorgeous. But what I also found fascinating was that the bags, I mean, everything, all of the beautiful touch points, the wrapping and the bags that the clothes came in said, you know, it had the Scandal logo on it. But then underneath it said A Drama by Shonda Rhimes. And it was really fascinating to me that the showrunner, like all of these intersect, like why the showrunner's name was on the bag.
Yeah.
And how all of that kind of intersects, and not to mention the fact that, you know, they made shopping online a really wonderful experience.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting too, in terms of I mean, that led you back to a brand.
That
I mean, it's
a
great
never
story.
Thought of. Like, they had fallen out of my memory. Like, and I thought that, I mean, I hadn't thought about the Limited since I was like 15 years old. And it resurrected that brand for me as an adult.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, my brand that's made me smile is Evernote, because I got to see a few of their speakers, some members of their leadership team. And what was fascinating was seeing them talk about the Evernote Market, which is their line of physical products. And it's really different for an online company like Evernote to kind of go the other direction and be a fully digital company that all of a sudden starts manufacturing things. Bags, wallets, but it's part of their kind of broadening of who they are to continue to organize your workspace, which includes how you store your business cards, your bag. And it's interesting because they thought, their hypothesis was that if they sold this stuff, it would be to more of their premium members, because they have, you know, some people, I set my watch by Evernote, and yet I don't pay for it. And I've always felt guilty about it. But what they found was that their marketplace has been used as they've bought, more people have bought their products that aren't paying customers otherwise. So they are turning some of those non-paying customers into paying customers with the products in their Evernote Market. I bought their Messenger bag. I'm very excited for it.
Well, I'm very excited to wear my Scandal Collection capelet jacket that I ordered.
Capelet.
Oh,
me with my triangle
so
bag.
So beautiful. The
we
clothes.
Will be a force to be reckoned with.
In my Scandal clothes and your Evernote bag.
All right. Well, this has been the March Zeitgeist. As we start to wrap up here, I always like to flip the microphone around and say things about people that have said nice things about us online. Julian McBride, who shared our episode where we had Barbara Apple Sullivan from Sullivan On. Big thanks to Julian for giving us a shout out online. Keep up the good work out there. Last but not least, as we start to wrap up, remember you can find show notes, links to everything that we've talked about, the news items and more, over at branddrivendigital.com. While you're there, you can subscribe to the show via iTunes, Stitcher, RSS, and more. Speaking of iTunes, if you like what you're hearing, head over to iTunes, click that 5-star rating button, give us a quick rating, toss in a couple sentences for a review. We'd love to hear from you, know what you think, and it helps other listeners find the show as well. Don't forget that this podcast is brought to you by our brand-driven digital event series. You can learn more about Digital Strategy Bootcamp and the industry-leading social brand forum at branddrivendigital.com right now. Until next week, I'm Nick Westergaard, and I'll see you on the internet.
This has been the On Brand Podcast, presented by Brand Driven Digital. For show notes, links, and more, go to onbrandpodcast.com. Remember, you can subscribe to the show and leave a rating and review at iTunes and Stitcher. Thanks for listening.
This podcast is heard along the Marketing Podcast Network. For more great marketing podcasts, visit marketingpodcasts.net.